Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Having so much fun talking about the Italian-American influence, Mambo Italiano. But I had to tell you about my Labor Day barbecue and how I wanted to make it the greatest party of the year. And the greatest part of the year starts with Ruffles potato chips and that onion dip with sour cream. So I bought the box from Lipton's, the powdered onion, whatever, with an expiration date of 10 years from now. It was so good. But this inspired some weekend warrior in Santa Barbara, of all places. John from Santa Barbara. John, thanks so much for calling in.
Doctor, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I've been a fan since the very first show.
Thank you.
Saturday staple.
Thank you.
Real quick, I'm going to take up your time here.
You're not taking up my time.
Onion dip from scratch is 100% better than the box. I'm saying 100%.
How the hell you make onion dip 100% from scratch?
Take a big onion.
Yeah?
You use two onions. The more onions, the better the flavor. Mince them up whatever size you want. The key is in a skillet with olive oil. Mm-hmm. Saute them slowly so they turn brown eventually, caramelize.
Mm-hmm.
Once they're caramelized, take them off the heat, let them cool. In a bowl, the ratio is two parts sour cream, one part mayonnaise. Exactly. The mayonnaise works as a stabilizer and also adds some flavor.
Mm-hmm.
When the onions are cool, pour those in, olive oil, the whole thing, every last little drop, a little garlic salt, stir it up, put it in the fridge for like an hour or two, takes out. It never lasts an hour at my house. Never.
My mouth is watering already, John. That's unbelievable. I think, so 2-1, the sour cream to the mayonnaise, how much does this, so two onions for what, like 16 ounces of sour cream?
I eyeball it. Depends on the size of the onion. I put in two onions because I love the flavor of onions. And I love the pieces of onion. You actually have onions in there as opposed to this powder.
It's like kitty litter. It's the consistency of kitty litter. That's what the stuff looks like that comes out of the box.
Well, you add sugar to it, it becomes a Twinkie.
Listen, thanks so much for the kind words and thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Doctor.
All right. God bless you. Appreciate that. Wow. All right, I'm going to try. I may go home today and try that immediately. The key is the potato chip. What's your vehicle? Mine is the Ruffles. Knowing Dr. Bully would be on, whose mom is 100% pure Italian, and who he is, inspired me all week to think about that multitasker, that creative force of nature, but also knows how to have a good time in life. The Italian influence in my life, in your life, how to live your life. Take it seriously, but also know how to have a good time. And I kept thinking about, all right, I'm going to talk this Saturday about the Italian way of doing things. So here is, in art, the man that I think gravitate to more than Frank Sinatra, it was Dean Martin.
Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, hey, hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano. All you Calabrese do the Mambo like a crazy with the hey, Mambo. Don't wanna tarantala, hey, hey, Mambo. No more mozzarella, hey, Mambo.
The great
Mambo
Dean Martin. He was born Dino Crocetti. But as Bob Bully said, in those days, you didn't want to be ethnic in America. You had to change your name. He changed his name to Dean Martin. He grew up in Steubenville, Pennsylvania. And going to school was not for him. So in high school, he gets himself a job and then another job and winds up in the shady part of town, where there's gambling going on, and starts to realize I'm an entertainer.
He then got a job at Rex's Cigar Store in downtown Steubenville. Rex's was home to a gambling den. The store was just a front for one of Steubenville's oldest and most successful illegal businesses. Dean eventually became a dealer in the back room and loved it. The rush of the roulette wheel, the snap of the cards, the boozy conversation, the beautiful women. It was magic to young Dino. All around him, Dino saw gangsters and gamblers, many of them associated with the Fraschetti brothers, who ran organized crime in that part of the country.
I got to see a little bit of this in the Catskill Mountains when I was 16 working as a waiter up there. But that's the way you get out of your situation. You just look for any exit possible.
More than anyone, Dino was influenced by Harry Mills of the Mills Brothers.
I guess I had $1 million or more. I guess I played an old game over and over.
That's who his biggest influence was this Harry Mills. And when the bar would close down, the microphone was still there. And Dean would get up and start to entertain the other workers. And then one day they said, you know, you're really good at this. You should do this.
In 1938, Dino was offered an opportunity to sing professionally with the Ernie McKay Band, who were big in Ohio. It was McKay's idea to change Dean's name to Dino Martini. A short while later, the wife of bandleader Sammy Watkins heard Dino sing and suggested to her husband that he hire the young Italian crooner.
Dean was singing with Ernie McKay when a woman who was the wife of Sammy Watkins, another band leader, heard him sing and importuned her husband to let Dean make a demo record so he could see if he had possibilities with this new band, a much bigger band. So it worked out, and Sammy hired Dean, and Dean became the toast of Cleveland for a while.
This was his biggest hit.
Everybody loves somebody somehow. Everybody falls in love somehow.
So smooth.
Something in your kiss just told me my sometime is now. Everybody.
Who was Dean Martin? Why was he so special?
Dean Martin is still popular even though he died several years ago because of his incredible appeal on all different levels as a singer, as an actor, as a comedian, as a variety show host. His appeal just hits everybody, all different ages, all different backgrounds, ethnic groups, men and women love him. And he's just never gone out of date and never will because he was that kind of all-around entertainer.
He was multitasking, like Mike Trout playing baseball. He can run, throw, hit, catch, everything. They call him a five-tool athlete. Dean Martin could do it all.
Most acts come on like a tank when they come on the stage, firing away, you know, full of power. Dean came on like a sleek stretch limo.
Mm.
You can't take your eyes off it.
But he represented the Italian being. Here's Pat Cooper, the great Italian comedian, talking about what that meant.
The Italian culture says we want to work, sing, make love, and enjoy. It's the greatest culture on the planet because it's the most common sense culture on the planet. Not because I'm Italian, but I see it and I read about it and the history.
He spoke Italian with an Abruzzese influence, a Midwest influence. He wasn't ashamed of the way he spoke Italian. He spoke a lot of his Italian is, you know, it's from his generation. He wasn't book educated. He learned from the immigrants. He didn't hide it. He was proud of it.
Here he is singing, and then part of his comedy acting movie career with Jerry Lewis.
Come belle c'è la luna brille strette strette con e butto belle fasteggia sotto il cielo di Roma.
Be part of this family, you know, the Italians, you gotta know their language, their ways, you gotta know their food.
Oh, I know all about that food, Dean, I know that. When I was at your house last time, didn't your mother serve us that antipasti?
No, antipasti. It's antipasto.
Antipasti.
Antipasto.
Antipasto.
That's it. How about in sports? Where do you see that feistiness, that creativity, that fun-loving, but the best at what you do, multitasking, player in sports, also a manager in sports? Well, for the Dodgers, there was nobody better than Tommy Lasorda. Here he is being interviewed as the manager, Tommy Lasorda, when Dave Kingman rocked three home runs against the Dodgers. And he's asked, what did you think about Kingman's performance?
What's your opinion of Kingman's performance? Well, it's my opinion of Kinga's performance. What the f*** you think is my opinion of it? I think it was put that in. I don't opinion of his performance. He beat us with three home runs. What the f*** do you mean? What is my opinion of his performance? How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance? He hit three home runs. I'm f***ed off to lose a f***ing game. And you ask me my opinion of his performance. I mean, that's a tough question to ask me, isn't it? What is my opinion of his performance?
What people don't realize is, okay, he was a great manager. What a motivator. But he was a hell of a pitcher. Tommy Lasorda, and the way he pitched, and as good as he was, even up against the Yankees and the great Mickey Mantle, he's the reason baseball players wear helmets at the home plate when they're batting, so they don't get smacked in the head. Because as a pitcher, that's what Tommy Lasorda liked to do to intimidate batters. He'd throw the ball right at their head. Listen to Tommy Lasorda talking about, I ain't afraid of nobody. But also making his dream come true of pitching in Yankee Stadium. How did it all come about to the point that the Yankees, for the very first time, started to wear batting helmets because of Tommy Lasorda as a pitcher?
So Boudreaux, Lou Boudreaux, our manager, he was kind of upset. He said, those Yankees, everybody gets intimidated by the Yankees. And also, I said, hey, not everybody. I said, they don't intimidate me. I said, that organization I came from, the Dodgers, we didn't fear anybody, but we respected everybody. He said, you mean that? I said, yeah. So we'll go down and warm up.
You got the job, buddy.
So he brought me in to pitch the top of the eighth inning, and the first hitter was Joe Collins, and I dumped him twice with two knockdown pitches. Got him out. Sturdivant was the next hitter. I dumped him twice and got him out. Now, Billy Martin was the leadoff hitter. I got him twice, and I struck him out to end the inning.
Wow. That's how he got started.
Then I come out the top of the ninth, and Hank Bauer was the first hitter. This guy's tough. He had a face that looked like it'd hold 2 days of rain, and he was a Marine, and he was tough. So I had to dump him, too. So I dumped him twice, and I strike him out. And as they're throwing the ball around the infield, Martin is up on the top of the dugout step screaming at me, I'll get you before the year's out. I'll get you. I said, hey, banana nose, you don't have to wait. Let's go. So he came out of that dugout, and I went off to that mound, and we had a pretty good fight.
We had a pretty good fight.
And I look over, and Bauer's trying to get me, and he's throwing guys off him like they're little kids. I say, hey, Bauer, this is between Billy and I said. So now I'm going to start. When we go to New York, I'm going to start. And I'm going to tell you something. But let's get back to Kansas City first. Now, Mantle was going to be the next hitter, and I was really upset, so I'm not going to knock him down, I'm going to drill him. So as I'm walking back to the mound, I feel somebody put their arm around me, and I looked, and it was Mickey Mantle. He said, hey, Tommy, look, those two guys are really struggling, they're both hitting a buck something. He said, they're just frustrated at the moment. They said, but they're good guys, forget about it. So I said, geez, that Mickey's a pretty good guy, you know? Well, I threw him a curveball, and he hit it off the left center field fence, standing at second base. He knew he had conned me out of what I was going to do. And I looked at him. I kept looking at him, and finally he broke out and laughed. And I said, I knew I should have gotten you. And he laughed. He knew that he talked me out of it.
Talk me out of throwing it at his head. All right, so the very next game, for the very first time in baseball, the team is wearing batting helmets because of Tommy Lasorda.
So now we go into Yankee Stadium. Now they're going to start me because of the battle. And that was the first time, all of them come to bat with the helmets on. Hank Bauer was the leadoff hitter. He had a helmet. They put helmets on. They figured, if he's going to throw at me, they better wear helmets, you know? But they got me out. Yogi Berra hit a ball on me right over the first base bag with two men on, second and third. So I pitched about, I guess, six innings against him. I gave up two runs. But the whole thing about Yankee Stadium and the Yankees, they were something special.
And now you listen to Tommy Lasorda going back, just like listening to Vin Scully. You go back and be that kid again, the kid who had nothing but dreams. The way he talks about making his dream come true, it's like talking to Dr. Bob Bully about getting his vineyard in Italy. Talking to Dr. Clapper about surfing in Hawaii. To make a dream come true is what your life is all about.
They used to dress with shirt and ties, jackets, because they said, once a Yankee, always a Yankee. You're going to play for the Yankees, you got to act like a Yankee. They always wore ties. They always wore sport coats. And they were a traditional. Traditionally, they were the greatest. And here I was actually pitching in Yankee Stadium. And I had dreamt of that. Mm. And that's when you say dreams become a reality. Mm.
That's what it's all about, Tommy Lasorda. You're right. All right, coming up next, I want to talk about arthritis in the knee. It's a key area. And I deal with arthritis in the shoulder, in the hip, everywhere in your body. But this week, and even next week, there's an epidemic of people I'm operating on who've had surgery for arthritis. And they did what's known as a partial knee replacement. And now I have to redo these work of other surgeons because it was not the right thing to do. What is up with a partial knee replacement? And if it's something you've got, you better let me know if you've got arthritis or a torn meniscus in an older person. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You get some Clapper Vision. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. Wow. Good one, Steve Paulette. Dean Martin with the Mills Brothers. He gets to sing with the guy who inspired him. That was a good one. Wow. The great Dean Martin. All right, let's talk about arthritis. But before I give you some Clapper Vision of what happened to me this week in surgery, let's go to Logan calling in from Carson. Hi, Logan. How are you?
How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Do you listen to the show?
Yes, I've been listening for a while, especially on Saturdays. We have a men's sporting thing at my church, so...
Good. You tell everybody in that church of yours that they're either pre-op or post-op. Sooner or later, they're going to need me.
I believe so.
What do you do for a living, Logan?
Well, I'm a instructional assistant at L.A. Harbor College. I help students develop research papers and organize their writing assignments.
Well, good for you. Is this your one and only job, or did you do something before this?
Well, I was a wrestling coach for a long time, and then I was in the military for a while. In fact, that's where I first started having knee issues when I was in the military.
Did you have surgery on these knees?
Oh, I think I've had 6 or 7 knee surgeries on my left leg.
Oh, boy.
And the doctor is telling me now that there's arthritis, severe arthritis developing under the kneecap in my right leg, and that's why I was calling to find out what could I, would one affect the other, and what could I do to diminish that it getting worse?
You know, the hair is no longer on top of my head, and if I did have hair, it'd probably be all gray. There is a certain aging process. Charles Barkley calls it Father Time, and he says Father Time is undefeated. So when you hear that there's a pill or a shot that the drug companies have come up with that's going to reverse it. I love that term, anti-aging. Are you kidding me? You know, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I may want to sell you, Logan, if you're going to believe all that nonsense. And you're a smart man. If it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. So don't believe that hype. Can you decrease the process in terms of how fast it's happening, that you can. It's a weight-bearing joint. So if you can take some weight off, then you're certainly going to make it easier on you. It doesn't matter how fat you are to your elbow or your wrist, but it sure makes a difference to the discs in your lower back, the cartilage in your hip, and the cartilage in your knee. So that's number one. And what is it that we eat that naturally makes things blow up with inflammation? You know what naturally is in our body that's bad for us, that is a natural inflammatory agent? Sugar. But I love sugar. I go through pounds of this stuff because I can't drink coffee unless I put sugar in it. But white sugar is a natural inflammatory agent. And how about this? Every time you have a cheeseburger and you have the bun, those two pieces of bread to your body become white sugar. They become an inflammatory agent. Now, I'm not saying you have to become a vegetarian or give up sugar, but there are things that you can do to take weight off and put less sugar into your life that will certainly help. Now, you also need to make sure you're not doing, at 57 years old, exercises that are aggravating your knee. And I am not the boss. I'm sure, Logan, I've never met you, but when you were 25 years old, you could jump off the top of this building here at ESPN and you would have bounced off the ground and survived, no big deal. But at 57, if you jump off this building, you're going to be flat as a pancake because you are not 25 anymore. So what you're able to do when you're young, I should really, Logan, trademark this term and call it agercise, that you exercise differently because of your age. You just can't do what you used to do. So, I'm from New York, so we hate things. So get ready for me to give you some hate. I hate, for you, treadmill, lunges, squats, stair machines, and weights for your legs. Don't do them. You want to run to chase your wife? That's fine. But to do it to stay in shape, as we say in New York, forget about it. Don't do it. But what are the nurturing exercises that you can do, Logan? There's a book I wrote with Lindy Yui called Heal Your Knees. You should get a copy. It's going to help you a lot because it'll teach you about the nurturing exercises that you need to embrace. What's the nurturing exercise? Walking in the pool a half an hour Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Belly button high water. You walk forwards, you walk backwards, and you ain't going to feel better in 2 weeks. But I promise you, can't guarantee anything in life, Logan. I guarantee you, you do a month of Monday, Wednesday, Friday, half an hour walking forwards and backwards in a pool, and you're going to feel better than today. What's the of three things? What's the second? The stationary bike. I love it. But at 57 years old, don't do it for more than a half an hour. Don't do any exercise for more than a half an hour because after a half an hour at 57 years old, your body ignores it and you're only hurting yourself. Well, Dr. Clapper, I still want to exercise more than a half an hour. Good. Then go lift weights, do some curls, do some bench presses, do something different, but don't do the same thing for more than a half an hour. So I love the pool, I love the bike, and I love the elliptical, the glide, the Nordic track type thing. Those are the three nurturing exercises. You want to play tennis once in a while. You want to go skiing. You want to go on a hike. Yeah, you're allowed to have a life. You're allowed to have a vice. But you can't say, well, I want to play basketball, and I want to climb stairs as an exercise, and I want to hike, and I want to... No, and I'm not the one to negotiate. Talk to your knee. Now, if you end up still having swelling, pain, buckling, giving out on you, the surgery has advanced tremendously. Go to the website, my website, Dr. Robert Clapper, and watch the video of a woman riding a bike the day after knee surgery. And I'm talking about titanium, an implant. Because if you don't cut the muscle and you use a customized, more customized type implants, they're thinner. We have more sizes than we had before. Just the whole way to do the surgery is different than it was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, you and I were using a rotary phone. Now you have an iPhone. A lot has changed. So that's my education for you to get started. Does that sound right?
That sounds perfect. I thank you so much.
All right, Logan, you're already going to church, but I want you to do me a favor. I just help you. You're a total stranger. Go find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
Thank you. I will do that.
All right, young man. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
All right, God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, we'll take a break. The number's 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on ESPN LA 710. What exactly is a partial knee replacement? I'm going to explain that coming up next. Dean Martin, love it. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Let's go to Michael J. in Huntington Beach before I get started about partial knee replacements. How can I help you, Michael?
Hey, just a quick question. I started walking about 4 or 5 miles a day. It's just regular walking. Is that okay?
Yes, it's okay. Okay. Keep it up. You know, running on the treadmill, it was going to ultimately damage your cartilage, your discs. But I don't want people to think I'm telling you to sit on the couch all day. I love you to be active. But the nurturing exercises that I advocate, so you can go for a walk, that doesn't count as your exercise. I'm glad you're doing it, Michael. But to stay in shape, I really would like you to be doing the pool, the bike, the elliptical. But going for a walk is the whole idea. That's what you need to do, is be outside, breathe the fresh air, relieve your stress. Great. But the nurturing exercises, the pool, the bike, the elliptical, but keep walking.
Yeah, well, I've been doing it for about 4 weeks, and I've lost 9 pounds because I was sitting around so much.
Well, the reason you're losing 9 pounds, Michael, is because you're walking further away from the refrigerator. That's why you're losing the weight.
You're exactly right. Really,
hey, the refrigerator's there. You walk the other way, you'll lose weight.
I quit eating all that rocky road.
That's exactly right. Listen, once in a while you can have it. You don't want to deny yourself, but you got to be smart. There's a difference between fuel and food. You know what I mean? You got to eat something so you can survive during the day, but then you get to entertain yourself with an amazing meal. But do it once a week, and you'll enjoy it that much more. Okay?
Yeah, all right. Nice talking to you, doctor. I love you guys.
All right. Thanks so much, Michael. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Glenn in Agoura Hills. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Dr. Clapper, how's it going?
Good.
Just wanted to give you a quick call. Didn't even think I'd get through, but you did a surgery on my knee about 10 years ago.
Oh.
My third knee surgery. I went and saw you at Cedars-Sinai.
Uh-huh.
And just wanted to say, I mean, you changed my life back then. I was able to go snowboarding a couple years after.
What a nice phone call. Thank you.
I haven't had any kind of pains, anything like that. So, and I actually hear you on the radio. Like, I didn't even know you were on the radio.
Thank you for the nice call. You made my day. I got to adjust my headset because my head is swollen right now. But you know what? I became a doctor to meet people like you, Glenn. And thanks so much for checking in with us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. God bless. Have a good day today. All right, Warriors. You're going to hear a lot about the idea of partially replacing your knee. I think what we'll do, Steve, maybe we'll take a break. I'll come back and I'll devote more time to it. Because I need to keep you out of trouble. It really sounds great to say, let's just fix the pothole. But if you need the whole road repaved, you ain't going to let them just do that. If you got a worn out brake pad that's now ruined the rotors in your brakes, you're not going to let the mechanic give you a new brake pad alone. You got to be careful. When it sounds too good to be true, I don't care who's giving you the advice. Don't let them tell you a pill or a shot is going to be the end of it. You got to really ask the right questions. And some people that I end up seeing, I just feel bad because I now have to redo something that's been done. So I'll explain what that really means. What does a unicompartmental knee replacement really mean? What does a total knee replacement mean? I'll explain. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Coming up next on the Weekend Warriors show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. When we talk about your knee in the orthopedic surgery field, what you really got to realize is in order to get up from a seated position, sitting to standing, standing to sitting, jumping, these maneuvers require your quadriceps. Those are the muscles in front of your thigh. Muscles behind your thigh are the hamstrings. But the muscles in front of your thigh have to contract, shorten. And the kneecap is used as a fulcrum to literally cross the front of your knee joint. And it allows your knee joint to straighten, to have you go from a flexed knee to a straight knee. Tremendous amount of force to lift your body weight up. There's cartilage behind your kneecap. And it's a very misunderstood and ignored part of your knee joint. Everybody focuses on your meniscus, and you got two of them. You got medial and lateral meniscus. The big toe side and the little toe side of your knee has that cushion, that rubber cushion in there. And everybody talks about, oh, I tore my meniscus or I have arthritis. But they ignore that third compartment of your knee, which is the kneecap, the patella, it's called, the femur, the patellofemoral portion. And they touch each other. The thickest amount of cartilage that lives in our body is that cartilage behind the back of the kneecap. So imagine you've had a torn meniscus. Someone's done surgery in the past. I get it. And now you have this stabbing type of pain on the inner portion of your knee, your big toe side of your knee, where it most commonly is going to break down. They take an x-ray, they take an MRI, and they tell you, you have a degenerative meniscus, but you got more than that. You have lost the cartilage on the end of the bone, your bone on bone. But good news, it's only on that inner portion of your knee. And in rare cases, the appropriate treatment, if all else fails, all the exercises and losing weight and staying strong, and you're bone on bone and you're limping, in rare cases, and I do them, you can resurface just the worn out portion of the inside of your knee. And I do them. And you better learn how to do them if you're a knee surgeon. And that's truly a partial knee replacement, a unicompartmental knee replacement. But what if the other areas of your knee also have, to a lesser degree, worn out cartilage as well? I don't want someone telling you, you can ignore that. You can't. You shouldn't. Because if you're now going to open up your knee and put titanium, metal, and plastic into your knee to resurface the pothole, that one spot that is the worst, what do you think's going to happen to the cartilage that's not as bad but wearing out behind your kneecap, or the cartilage that's not as bad on the little toe side of the joint, the lateral side? With time, it's going to further deteriorate. And now, I don't know, 7 years, 10 years, 12 years, whatever it is, you're now going to have another operation to take out the partial and redo the whole knee, all the surfaces, not just the pothole, but the whole road has to be repaved. In some patients, those areas are pristine. They're beautiful. And it makes a lot of sense to me to just resurface the pothole in one area. But not if there's damage in the other ones. It just has never, and this is my opinion. You can get other people's opinion. You're more than, you know, happy to do that, and I respect it. But if you're asking my opinion, no, you can't ignore those other areas. And trust me, when it ultimately comes time to upgrade and redo the unicompartmental, the partial to a total, as a surgeon who does hundreds and hundreds of surgeries every year for 30 years, it's hard. It's not so easy just to take out the old one and put a new one in, because there's a lot of loss to the bone, and I have to really be a carpenter's son to straighten the leg out, to get it right, to fill in the defects that I'm going to find. It really makes a bigger operation out of it. And I am actually seeing more and more of those. This past week I did one. This coming week I'm going to have to do two more. It's something that I'd rather meet you and tell you, leave it alone, get in the pool, get strong. But if, oh, listen, Dr. Clapper, I'm limping. I can't walk anymore. I can't be, okay, good. Then if you're going to fix it, you need to fix it all. You need to do the right thing, not something half-ass. And that's really what I want to emphasize. The Clapper vision is, don't fix the pothole if the whole road needs to be replaced or resurfaced. With that in mind, let's go to Linda in Carson. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help, Linda?
Hi, Dr. Clapper.
Thanks for listening. You listen every Saturday?
I listen every Saturday. Every Saturday.
What's your favorite story I've told after all these years?
Well, the one you just told about Dean Martin and I love those and baseball. I love the words that you told today.
You know what? It reminds me of what Jerry Lopez says about surfing. The best surfer in the ocean is the one having the most fun. What you remember is the one I just told. That's the nicest thing to say. Thank you. What do you do for a living?
Well, I sell. I'm on my knees all the time. I manage a store, and I sell. And so I've been standing, and I've done 13 marathons.
Wow. What do you sell in this store?
It's just a neighborhood grocery store.
Oh, good for you. How many years are you doing this?
About 13.
Wow. What did you do before that?
Worked in the courts.
Really? Where are you from?
Houston, Texas.
Wow. When you were growing up, did you ever go to where the rockets blast off in Houston?
No.
You never went to where, hello, Houston, we're having a problem? You didn't go where they blasted the spaceships?
Yes, everybody does that. Everybody does.
Was it fun when you went as a kid to see that?
Of course.
I've never done that. I got to do that one day. God, that's where the history was made in this country. Houston, so was your family in the oil business?
No, Dr. Clapper. My family came from the slave business.
Well, that's the worst kind of oil business.
I know.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What did your dad do for a living?
He was a cook.
Do you cook?
No.
Your dad was a cook and you don't cook. I love that. How about your mom? Did she work?
She was a nurse.
Oh, my mom was a nurse also.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most noble profession. All right, talk to me. How can I help you?
Well, I have arthritis in the knees and it's so painful that I'm to the point where I can barely walk anymore. And I know that I have arthritis in the knees because I've had an MRI, and they told me that I had arthritis in the knees.
Mm-hmm.
And I aggravated it by falling.
Yep, trauma will actually exacerbate the degenerative process. So that's exactly right. You've now, in a quick way, cracked off even more of the cartilage that would ordinarily be wearing out slowly. So trauma can actually aggravate the arthritic condition. But do me a favor, Linda. Don't let them shoot you with cortisone or any kind of needles in your knee.
Okay.
And you need to get in the pool Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Start walking forwards and backwards. Because you'll either win. That allow you to work in the store, you'll either win by postponing the surgery because you make the muscles above and below the knee stronger, or you'll win by making recovery from surgery easier because you're in better shape. It's holistic. There's no side effects, but it means you have to block out the time 3 days a week for a half an hour to walk in a pool, the YMCA, the 24-hour fitness, wherever it is that you can get to a pool.
Okay. Now, would it be possible for me to get you to look at it at some point in time?
Of course. That's what I do for a living.
All right. Then I'll make an appointment because I do come to Cedars for a heart condition.
That's right. All right. It'll be my pleasure. But I'd love you to read the book because you'll get smarter.
Oh, I'd love to read.
It's called Heal Your Knees. I wrote it with Linda Huey. You'll get a kick out of it. It'll teach you the right questions. It'll teach you that when you look at the x-ray, you'll go, now I see what you're talking about. You'll understand the difference between the meniscus, the difference between the articular cartilage, what the bones mean, what the ligaments mean, what an x-ray means, what an MRI means. That's what the book is all about, in addition to showing you the exercise to do. That'll make a lot of sense for you. Remember, be holistic. There is no magic pill. You ain't getting younger, no matter what they say.
Right. And every day it really, really is very, very, very painful. And not only that, I developed this pregnant clause. Is that what it's called? Behind the knee, years ago, and no one did anything about it.
It's called a Baker cyst. Yes, that gets decompressed when you take care of the knee, when you take care of the arthritis. It'll be my pleasure to help you, Linda, and God bless you. Listen, I want you to do me a favor. I just help you. I need you to find a total stranger, do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
I promise.
Okay, young lady. Thanks so much for calling.
All right.
All right, Warriors. Well, I can't believe we went through 2 hours already, Steve Paulette. What a pleasure to be able to talk about my favorite, Dean Martin. Dean Martin.
Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, hey, hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano. All you Calabrese do the mambo like a crazy with a hey.
Today
mambo.
We spent a lot of time talking about this man. Hey, hey, Mambo. Dean Martin. We talked about Tommy Lasorda. The Italian influence of working hard and playing hard. Multitasking. Nobody did it better than Dean Martin. The song, though, that he became most famous for was this.
Everybody loves somebody, somehow. Everybody
singing was just part of it.
In love somehow.
Doing comedy was another part of it. Multitasking.
Now, this is only a gag. I don't drink anymore. I freeze it now and I eat it like a popsicle.
The timing he had.
But you just remember, you know, a drink never hurt nobody at all. You just remember the great words of Mr. Joey Lewis. He says, "You're not drunk if you can lay on the floor without holding on."
How would you know?
That's Frank Sinatra, kibitzing.
Joey and I were together at my home about 2 weeks ago. We were in my den one morning, swimming, and he mixed himself a peculiar drink, and I said...
Speaking of that, I was in Wilt Chamberlain's house, sitting on the couch with him, and his swimming pool in his den began in the den. You got into the pool in the... I got into the pool in Wilt Chamberlain's house and swam underneath the wall of the house to the big pool on the outside, but you could enter from inside the house. How do you like that? Tommy Lasorda, another multitasker. This is Tommy Lasorda as a manager, asked about what it was like when they lost the game because of Dave Kingman.
What's your opinion of Kingman's performance?
What's my opinion of Kingman's performance? What the f*** do you think is my opinion of it? I think it was f***. Put that in. I don't f***.
And what about Tommy Lasorda as a baseball pitcher? A multitasking move.
So Lou Boudreau, our manager, he was kind of upset. He said, those Yankees, everybody gets intimidated by the Yankees. And also, I said, hey, not everybody.
Not everybody. Not Tommy Lasorda. Thanks for joining me again this Saturday. Until next time, I'll see you on the radio.